She studied acting with Ivana Chubbuck.
I don't know who that is, but it sounds...
It sounds good. Ivana Chubbuck. Ivana Chubbuck, too.
That sounds like a setup. Ivana Chubbuck. Ivana Chubbuck.
She's...
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name's Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host...
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
This is a Hey You Didn't Know It.
A Hey You Didn't Know It.
We haven't had one in a while. Hey You Didn't Know It.
What happened to that? Where was it hiding?
We didn't have anything for it. Okay. Everything is known.
Can I just say your face looks fantastic?
Thank you. Katie is commenting on my face. It's airbrushed. They airbrushed a better looking face onto my face. It looks weird. I was saying, it looks
you
like
went
a
for
Barbie
a photo
doll.
Shoot today.
There's no shadows.
Yeah. Like there's
no matter where you hit it, even though we're being lit very harsh from above, it doesn't matter. I have no shadows.
That's
at all.
Right.
So this doesn't, maybe it dovetails
okay.
with this. So,
Hey You Didn't Know It is a segment where we report on news of the oblivious living among us.
Yeah. And this is something that, you know, scientists once again have come up with this. It's all over the press. And it says penis size does matter. Did you see this?
Hey, you didn't know it.
Yeah.
It's all over.
It's all over.
It's all the rage.
And for some bizarre reason, maybe you can help me out with this. There's all a right. picture of John Hamm.
What?
Is he known for...
Really?
Yeah. So it says, penis size does matter. Then a huge picture of John Hamm clapping. So the article says...
Is he thrilled that penis size matters?
He's applauding it. He's like, finally, someone said it. It says, women prefer big penises. Thunders a new study published this week in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, also known as PNAS.
Oh,
penis.
God. Okay.
Researchers had 105 straight Australian women rate 49 computer-generated nudes. So I looked at the nudes. It's like it's a image of a guy, no face, no features, but you can see the physique.
All right.
They have a short guy. All the penises are flaccid. They have a short guy who's kind of tubby with a small, flaccid penis.
Okay.
They have a guy who's average height who's kind of tubby with a small, flaccid penis. And then the third guy is like 6'8", has a massive piece of action going on. And guess what? Women pick that.
Well,
he's fit. He's more fit. He looks like an athlete, and he's got a huge
Johnson.
Doesn't
that have something to do with it, too? I mean, honestly, if you were just going with an isolated penis.
Yes, on its own.
On its own.
Just on a cloth, like a diamond or something.
Yeah, funny.
With a simple background. But the pictures, it's like two guys who aren't in great shape, and then one guy who's in phenomenal shape. They said after controlling for height, weight, you know, variables, all that kind of stuff, they determined that as you increase in penis size, the amount of attractiveness increases as well.
I have to say that the study sounds kind of stupid.
Well,
it's
first
like,
of all, there's only 105 people. I thought a scientific study would something like this to ask people just to look at penises. You could get thousands of people to do that.
Absolutely.
Men and women could weigh in on this one.
Yeah. So little in the way of people.
Yeah.
And then where's the control group?
I don't know.
God. It looks like an athletic. That looks like Lurch.
Yeah.
That doesn't look like a tall athletic.
But
man.
It's much better than these guys who
That's
have
true.
Like a little extra around the middle. Not they don't look bad, but I think there's a striking difference between these two shorter guys.
Right.
And then this huge guy. That not only is there a penis, but there's also a piece of scrotum back there as well in the picture. So it's looking larger. They do say, however, if you guys are worried about it, the women's attraction to flaccid penises peter out at 3 inches. So, I mean, really? So then they figure out, like, why is this? Why would women be attracted to a larger penis size?
Because they screwed up the whole study.
Yeah.
That's why.
They have, like, two Schmendricks with tiny penises. And then one guy who's, like, you know, basically standing next to a Corvette and a big, like, amount of cash.
Yeah.
With a larger
and
penis.
And then wondering, why, do you like this guy better?
Yeah. And
oh, it must be his penis.
He's holding flowers and he's saying, I love to rub feet.
Yeah.
But it's just funny. I mean, they're doing research on it, and that's fine. But 105 Australian women is all they could come up with?
And they just did it based on look. They didn't do it based on performance.
No. Yes. These are flaccid penises, people. You don't. Some people grow. Some people show. We've
right,
all heard
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
Bizarre. But so back to science. It says it's not clear why women prefer bigger penises, says National Geographic. So everybody's in on this game. They must be just trying to get people to read the magazine. But studies have shown that women prefer larger sizes because they can increase sexual satisfaction.
And that's somebody's opinion.
Yes.
Right then and there. But it's...
Yeah. So basically, you know, hey, you didn't know it? Size matters.
They didn't.
Size matters, people.
They didn't even need the pictures. They should have just asked them.
Yeah, they said,
they would have told you.
Would you prefer this, you know, gigantic member or this little guy over here?
Yeah.
And then the women could choose. I don't know why this is a study, and I don't know why John Hamm
is the picture.
But I know if I were John Hamm, I'd be like, hell yeah.
Does
ladies.
He know? I mean, does he?
I have no idea. It's not a picture of him in conjunction with the study. It's like just John Hamm at an event.
It says John Hamm would probably fare well among the participants in a new Australian study. Would probably. Someone is just guessing. They're looking at him like, we think that John Hamm is a big penis.
We talked about John Hamm and his member didn't come up once.
Never.
I mean, that's not really our thing. You know, we talk about height.
Yeah. The height of the whole person.
That would be a different
meter rating.
Because
we're not shallow that way.
Yeah, we're not shallow.
We're not just, we talk about.
So, gentlemen, yeah. I wouldn't worry about this. It's 105 women. You know, I don't know. But really, size does matter. Hey, you didn't know it.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's in at least four papers I saw today. At least four papers. Hey, You Know It is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Oh, and this is celebrity discount, yes. People. You know, times are tight still. We're still in a recession, technically, although maybe the Fed would disagree, but I think we still are. And it's tough for Hollywood, and sometimes you can't afford your A-lister. And when you can't do that, we're here to give you your B, C, D, E, F, all the way down to Billy Zane. Katie's going to do celebrity discount. So are you starting with A-lister or the...
I'm going to start with the A-lister, but I have to let you know that this is the choice of one of our listeners.
Okay.
Michael F.
Wrote in
and wanted us to do this comparison. So, you know, this is for you, Michael.
Yeah, we're doing it. Shout out.
But I'll start with Jessica Biel.
Jessica Biel.
She was in Now I Pronounce You, Chuck and Larry. She was the girl. She's married to Justin Timberlake.
No. Right. Okay.
All right. Jessica Claire Biel was born March 3rd, 1982.
Wow. She just got here.
In Minnesota.
Okay.
Her nickname is Jessie. Mm. She's 5'7".
Wow.
Yeah. And she's known for having a very curvaceous body. And she really does. It's very, like, very, she's very fit and very curvy.
I'm thinking a noodle for some reason. Because I imagine she's also very thin, just kind of like waving around, like, willy-nilly.
And her biography, her mini biography, okay. As opposed to the extended version.
Yeah.
Jessica Biel, with her striking good looks and wide range of talent, has become one of Hollywood's most sought-out actresses.
Striking for a woman?
Bam. Okay. Striking. Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
She debuted on the WB's number one rated show, Seventh Heaven, in 1996.
Oh, she must have been really young then.
Yeah. Okay. But when she was 9, she starred in productions of Annie and The Sound of Music and Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
So she can sing.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Nobody knew this.
And no one cares now, apparently.
She's very pretty, and she turned to modeling and commercial work. She competed in the International Modeling and Talent Association's annual conference in 1994.
Oh, that's got to be fun.
Oh, God, could you imagine?
Ew, a bunch of angry moms and then starving girls. I don't know. Doesn't sound
she was
really
like
good.
12.
Even so.
Yeah. She completed a year and a half of college at Tufts University.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to go back to school, but then she didn't.
Because she became a Hollywood star.
Right.
Good choice.
She's involved with PETA, and other hobbies include ballet, soccer, running, yoga, hiking.
Ballet is a hobby. I like it.
Yeah.
We need to do a couple tour jetés when we're done today in the studio. Right. Some pirouettes. Just to keep limber.
She was in a couple of movies. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre in 2003. Blade Trinity. Stealth with Josh Lucas.
Oh, no. Stealth?
Yeah.
Wasn't Jamie Foxx also in that madness?
I don't know. I'm concentrating on Jessica Biel. This isn't about Jamie Foxx.
Do you remember that movie?
I do.
Oh, my God. I can't believe... Okay, go ahead. Hopefully she's done better.
And she... played alongside Peter Fonda in his Golden Globe winning performance.
Not hers.
Yuli's Gold.
Well, she was supporting.
Yeah. She was in I'll Be Home for Christmas, Summer Catch, The Rules of Attraction.
Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting for a film I've seen. Oh, no.
She was offered lead roles on Broadway for Rent and Beauty and the Beast, but her film career took precedence. So she's apparently can bring it.
She's talented.
So she's married to Justin Timberlake.
Okay.
They got married in October 2012.
Mm-hmm. I'm always suspicious when really beautiful young people get married. We'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah, she auditioned for some trivia about her. She auditioned for the role of in American Beauty in 1999. She likes to collect vintage glasses with no lenses. Bev. She's formerly a vegetarian.
Okay.
So she tasted some sweet, sweet meat.
Yes. Some pork or something. What has she done, though?
She studied acting with Ivana Chubbuck.
Okay. I don't know who that is. But it sounds...
It sounds good. Ivana Chubbuck, too.
That sounds like a setup. Ivana Chubbuck. Ivana Chubbuck.
She used to...
Chubbuck. That's terrible. I think Ivana anything, though, is funny.
Yeah, I know. But apparently Ivana is like the really sought-after acting coach.
Okay.
She was considered for the role of Catwoman in The Dark Knight Rises, but Anne Hathaway was cast.
And Anne Hathaway rocked the house.
Yeah, she lost two roles to Anne Hathaway. The other one was Les Mis.
They
she was up
to be
for Fontaine in Les
mostly
Mis.
Covering what she hasn't done, where she lost out. She hasn't done all that much.
She worked twice with Jason Statham.
Okay. I cannot wait to see who her discount is, because she's pretty discount herself.
First in Cellular and then in London. That's the thing, Michael F. I was reading this, and she's more of a discount Anne Hathaway.
Yes,
yeah,
seems
like. Like a far discount.
Yeah.
And then her personal quotes are, I've never gotten to do romantic comedy like most of the girls. Maybe because I'm fit, people assume that I'm not funny.
Really?
All kinds of wrong in that quote.
Yeah.
All kinds.
What do you mean by fit?
First, yeah, and most of the girls. What girls?
What girls?
Most of
and
the girls?
Who's not fit or emaciated in Hollywood?
I'm fit. People assume I'm not funny. Like, what girl in a romantic comedy is not fit?
I don't know. That's the whole point, is that nobody can relate to these bitches.
Mm.
Weird.
There's so much pressure to look a certain way in this town, but it's nice.
Luckily, I do. Jessica Biel. I'm thinking Jessica Alba. Ms. Alba. Okay, now Jessica Biel.
Jessica Biel.
Now I have no idea who she is, but that's okay.
Oh, maybe Jessica Alba was in the other movie. I was now pronouncing Chuck and Larry.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Somebody didn't do their homework. Or Jessica Biel just sucks. Okay. I like that she's... We're going to have to look into this Anne Hathaway business.
Yeah.
So she keeps losing roles to her.
So after this pressure about looking a certain way in town, it's nice to have a little meat on you. I hope I inspire women to appreciate their muscular calves.
Are you kidding me? She just said she was fit. Too fit to play a romantic lead.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Yeah. She was considered to replace Emily Blunt in Iron Man 2,
mm-hmm.
but the role went to Scarlett Johansson.
Damn. Too fit, yeah. Huh? Must have been all that fitness.
Her father ran an Outward Bound school.
Oh, God. Do you remember
that? So
there
you go. You remember Outward Bound?
Yeah.
Outward Bound, for the listeners, is like this get out there in the woods kind of thing.
For rich kids, though, it seems
like. And survive.
Like.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So they send you out with like a sanitary napkin and like some dried fruit
and
a piece of string.
And a manual. I think you're allowed to have the manual with you.
And then when you come back, you're supposed to be not as much of an asshole for having rich daddy and mommy. That's what I remember from those kids. Because I always thought Outward Bound would be cool. And then I saw the price. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to hang out in the backyard for like a week. That'll be my Outward Bound.
I had a friend who did it, and he had the book, and it was like different inspirational things to think about while you're starving? Yeah.
While you're considering eating your friend or your own foot?
Yeah. Oh, no friends allowed.
That's right. It's by yourself. So for 1 week, super, super rich kids get to feel, you know, my side of the mountain.
Right.
Weird.
And the first movie she remembered seeing is The Goonies.
Okay.
All right. And she never identified with the girls. She liked the boys because she liked snakes.
Why is Outward Bound so expensive when they had nothing? Okay, so she is
I guess to pay for the guy's ego that's running it.
It must be. Because they literally send people out there. You bring your own gear.
Mm-hmm.
So like your own backpack, your survival kit, and whatever. And they give you that book. Maybe that book is really expensive. Maybe there's some wisdom in that book that the rest of us will never have access to.
I know.
I just remember snotty kids who were screwing up in school and were rich, they would go out there and they would come back with some story about how they ate some twigs or like did something.
And were they
twigs.
Did they lose some of their asshole tendencies?
Oh, of course not. In All a right. week? Please. I'm an asshole. And like, it's going to take years to undo that. A week in the forest alone is not going to do it. But maybe that book. That book. We need to find out. We need to get one of those books
All
and
right.
read it. If any listener has an Outward Bound book, let us know, because we need to access Pearls of Wisdom.
Yeah,
and we don't
exactly.
have the money to do so.
Right. Oh, God. Imagine if we had that. How much advice we could give on Outward Bound.
I want advice. Outward Bound advice.
All right.
So that's the A-lister.
That's the now the B-lister, or actually, according to Michael F., it's a C-D-lister.
Wow. Okay.
Which is, we're leaning more towards D at this point.
Okay.
Here, is Allie Larter. L-A-R-T-E-R.
Crickets.
She was, I know, the thing, all right. She was born February 28th, 1976 in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Okay. Oh.
And her birth name is Allison Elizabeth Lartner. Her nickname is Allegra Coleman.
Allegra. Okay.
She's 5'8".
One inch larger than
she
the
began
one.
Modeling at age 13.
Okay,
so,
a bit late.
But much like a Miss Jessica Biel.
Mm-hmm.
Her first professional acting role was on the television series Chicago Sons. And then she got on Varsity Blues.
Okay.
She was in House on Haunted Hill, Final mm-hmm. Destination.
Mm-hmm. I know these movies.
Yeah, and she was with, acted alongside, much like the other one acts alongside other people. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Near them. In a soundstage far away.
You act over here on this side of the room, and then alongside of you will be someone else acting.
On their mark, but not blocking you.
Yeah, but not with each other.
Yeah.
They're alongside each other. So, alongside Colin Farrell.
Okay.
In the Western comedy, American Outlaws.
Hmm.
She was also Brooke Taylor Wyndham in Legally Blonde.
Okay.
So the one that was you didn't see the movie?
Of course not.
Oh, my God.
Why would I watch that?
She was in Final Destination 2,
mm-hmm.
Entourage,
okay.
Three Way.
Way.
And A Lot Like Love. And most people would know her probably from the show Heroes.
Okay. Oh, who was she in Heroes?
She was the mother of Micah.
Okay, gotcha. One thing I've seen.
Yeah.
Nice.
And, you know, and Lost was in there. Now they're talking about Heroes, and it was supposed to be like Lost. It was going to be the new Lost.
Okay. So this is a bit dated.
Yeah. And so anyway, they're like, there's interest in a miniseries to wrap up the storyline of Heroes.
It just ended?
After 77 episodes, it ended.
But I mean, did it fold nicely? Or
no,
did they
it just
left
was
it
like
open?
Goodbye.
They were like, you've lost ratings,
yeah, that's
get
like,
off.
Pulled the plug.
Yeah, see ya. Yeah. Thanks.
You know, that script that we sent you for the next one, throw it out.
Yeah, and not even syndication. See ya.
Yeah. So while she was on Heroes, she also got some work in the movie Marigold, Resident Evil Extinction.
That I've seen, oddly enough.
Yeah, Homo Erectus.
Mm-hmm.
And she was doing well. And then she also was opposite Beyoncé Knowles in the movie Obsessed.
Okay.
She was the one that had the affair with Beyoncé's husband. Guess what happened? A white woman sleeps with a black woman's husband.
Yeah, Beyoncé burnt her down.
Basically.
Snatched a weave. I didn't know Beyoncé. I'm not a Beyoncé fan, so I didn't even know she'd been in movies.
Yeah,
I'm assuming she, like Mariah Carey, cannot act her way out of a paper bag. Is that correct?
Basically.
Yeah.
Basically. Okay, and Ellie Lartner is also close friends with Amy Smart.
Okay. Oh, I know who Amy Smart is.
Good.
These are young ladies who I just don't know that well. They're like from a different generation of the actors we usually pick on.
Yeah, I know. And she was part of a hoax. That's where she got the name Allegra Coleman. Esquire magazine in 1996 did a profile on her as a star Allegra Coleman. And she mm-hmm. totally made up the whole thing. And it was a parody of fluff journalism. Esquire, thank you for that.
Yeah. You guys really are about sound, like GQ,
mm-hmm.
sound journalism.
Ranked number 40 in Stuff magazine.
Mm-hmm.
102 sexiest women of the world.
What's Stuff about?
Stuff.
But I mean, like gear.
Oh, crap. And I thought about this too.
Stuff magazine?
I'm like, come on.
Things.
So you're 26 and you got some money to start a magazine.
Yeah.
What are you going to name it?
Stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff. Things.
Yeah.
Bits. That's what I call my magazine, Bits. Because when you're close to 40, you don't have that much bits.
Bits.
Yeah.
And her quotes are, I hate pretty looking boys. I'd rather have a guy with a pot belly than one who's at the gym all the time and watches what he eats.
Really? Okay, fine. I mean, I hope that your man is making that happen for you. He's probably pretty psyched about it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Eat.
Lower your standards.
Yeah. A pot belly? Why specifically a pot belly? You know what? I prefer a beer belly. I can't work with a pot belly.
A pot belly is like hanging low. It's a low slug.
Ew. Are you serious?
Yes.
It's round, but it's low.
It's round and low.
Oh.
Like a sling. Imagine putting your belly in a sling and holding it.
Whereas
low.
A beer belly is just
high.
Yeah, high up and a barrel
and,
type situation.
Yeah, and probably hard.
I imagine. Whenever I see a guy with a big, I don't care, but I'm just curious. I want to tap on it to see if it makes a hollow sound.
It's not going to make a
How do you know? Have you done it? Have you put your ear to a beer belly and just given a little tap
on
the side?
No, I will try to do that.
Yeah, watch out, ladies and gentlemen. If you see us and you got a beer belly, I would put it away.
Yeah, because we're coming at you.
Yeah, like a watermelon. I just want to tap on it, see if it's ready.
And we don't care.
No,
it's
I don't care.
It's not anything bad.
I'm curious. I would play it if I had a beer belly. I'd be tapping on it all the time. I'd join a band with it. Okay, so what's the discount?
Well, you see, they made some kind of hot list. They both did their modeling. And if you look at their faces, I don't have a picture of them, but you'll have to look it up, listeners. They have that same kind of like look, the same kind of cheekbone structure.
I look tired.
Going on. No, you're looking at me. I look tired.
Because I think I'm imagining that they're just kind of like...
No, it's just different. It's
dewy.
They're dewy and they have like these cheek structures.
Okay.
All right.
Siberian cheeks.
Siberian cheek structures, yeah.
How like high, wide cheeks.
Yeah. You know, and so now that, Jessica has seen what Anne Hathaway can do and everyone's kind of sick of Anne Hathaway, there's room for
Boy,
her.
Why are
to
they
move.
Ever getting oh, sick of her? God. What's the backlash? They're saying that she and Gwyneth Paltrow are like the two most annoying people on earth.
Probably.
I agree with Gwyneth Paltrow because, you know, please shut up. But Anne Hathaway, what has she done?
Oh, she's terrible.
Really?
She's impossible. She's impossible.
Did you run into her recently and you had it?
No, I liked her very much until she looked at her Oscar and it was like, my wish came true.
Well, her godmother is Julia Horseface Roberts, so.
That's her. Oh, right, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It's not like she clawed her way up from Pasadena.
And her mother was Fantine in the Broadway Les Mis.
Yeah. So good
for
her.
So anyway, so everyone's tired of Miss Hathaway. So I think that there is room for Jessica Biel if she wants to open her mouth and sing. And with the added help of Justin Timberlake on her arm.
Yeah. And also he's kind of a player as well.
Yeah.
He should be able to get her some roles.
Absolutely. So she, we have this thing with her. So even though she's an A-lister, she's really a B-lister.
Okay.
Now, Ellie Lartner, I think just kind of gave up. I think she had her baby. And I think she had a couple of good movies. She was, with Colin Farrell, who we like.
Alongside.
She was hot. She modeled. You know, she had a bunch of things going on.
And
but
now she's got her potbelly guy.
Yeah.
So.
And her baby.
Yeah.
And she wants to stay home. That's another one of her quotes.
I just want to stay at home.
I told my boyfriend after 3 weeks I wanted to marry him and that we could do it tomorrow.
Wow.
I look forward to that time when I'm home with babies. So
okay.
That's kind of what she wants. So she's not as driven.
Okay.
I don't think because of that particular quote. So I think that you could get 70% off.
Damn.
I know. And it's nothing bad. It's just, I think it's just.
If she would even take the work.
If she would take it.
You know what I mean?
And she might even phone it in.
Yeah.
I'm not saying her performances were bad. I'm just saying that she has other things on her mind.
She's not into it. But
if you hot bellies and babies.
If you offered the same thing, really. If you offered her the right part, she might do it for almost nothing. I like it.
She might.
So 70% off.
Yes.
Very nice. And thank you, Michael F.
Thank you, Michael F.
Awesome.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
We've never really reported on cutlery before.
We haven't. We've talked about pens.
Yes. But this is cutlery. So I don't have a picture, unfortunately, but it's a self-standing butter knife that keeps condiments off the table. So it's a knife that stands straight up in the air.
That's frightening.
And there's a bulb at the bottom of it that weighs it
that's
down.
That's terrible.
Nothing dangerous about that at all. Like, it's a knife that stands straight up. And the problem is that after you use a knife, you have to put it down. And sometimes whatever's on your knife, say some ketchup or jelly or whatever, gets onto the countertop or onto a tablecloth, which I'm like, that's what it's there for.
Yeah.
But no, for this, for $37, you can get a weighted knife that stands straight up at all times, allowing whatever's on the knife to drip down to the bottom, including the blood when you trip and fall and impale yourself.
Yeah, right.
Like, this just sounds like a nightmare.
But it's also very creepy, too.
Yeah. It's really, really creepy. It's just a knife just straight up.
Yeah, I thought of the thing, too, with the stuff sliding down onto the handle. So that's not sloppy
and,
at all.
Absolutely
and
ridiculous.
Plate, why don't you just get a little, if you're so into not having your knife with the stuff touch anything, to get a little tiny plate and put it on it.
Yeah, or use chopsticks. I don't know. I feel like a knife.
Use a spoon.
This is a sharp knife, too.
It is? It's not just a regular.
It's a regular knife, but it's like.
It's serrated.
It's serrated. So it's like sticking straight up.
Oh.
Bizarre.
That's
I don't know.
Terrible.
I don't know
that's
who came
like
up with that.
The you know, glass in a bag.
Yes.
Toy for your child.
Yes.
Right?
Well, this is probably great for kids. I'm sure kids would love it because it's kind of like a top.
And that's and everybody
and
every
back
kid
and forth.
Would want to play
yep,
with that. That's
going to
be on the
knife.
Oh, God.
Yep. $37. You can stab yourself. No problem.
That's nice.
Whatsoever.
All right. What else do you have?
I have a lot of interesting. I have some advice on advice here.
Advice on advice is where we find advice that is unqualified and frankly stinks. And we approve on that advice by giving advice on
yeah,
that.
Hence advice on advice. So we usually do advice that's like women giving advice to women. Mm-hmm. Occasionally we find, you know, men getting advice from women. So I was doing a search for men's advice columns and nothing comes up except for this article that says when you do a search for men's advice columns, nothing comes up.
Wow.
So it's an article from The Atlantic. And it's interesting because it helped me to find today's advice. But I just wanted to give you a little history of advice. So advice started out as it was called conduct literature back in the day.
Conduct literature.
So women could tell other women basically how to behave in normal situations.
All right.
So the advice that we look at now is like more intricate. It's about society. Back then it was like, my husband's a little grumpy when he comes home. What should I do? Or, you know, how do I conduct myself in public? This kind of thing. So now it's kind of changed. It's more intricate, but there's still not good advice.
Should I be wearing
men.
Panties on a battleship?
Yes, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Like how to act, comportment,
right.
You know, that kind of thing. So this they talk about men's advice and say the problem with men's advice is it's flipped. There's no feeling to it. So I was referred to the Gentleman Scholar, which is a new advice column in Slate magazine.
That sounds fancy.
So there are only 6 pieces of advice so far, and the first one was a fashion thing. The second one was like, my child's a picky eater. So I found this one, and this is our advice for today.
Okay.
I'm 45 years old and can't, no apostrophe, decide if I should divorce my wife, a woman stunningly gorgeous who will love me forever, or to try to keep playing the young man's, no apostrophe, game and try to find a 25-year-old hottie to love. The problem is, at 45, my best years are behind me. I'm, no apostrophe, good looking and have a solid career, am charismatic and a good catch, but my pull, quote unquote, is less than what it was at 35 when I met my current wife and she fell in love with me. But I'm looking for Miss Universe looks, what my wife has. I afraid I just can't stay faithful for too long. I love women too much. Dilemma'd in SoCal.
Wow. Where do you think all the commas went?
Well, that's what the Gentleman Scholar first asked.
The apostrophes,
yeah.
Rather.
He's like, what the hell's going on with your typing? And who sends a letter like this from a professional address? Apparently this guy fired this off from like his work, using his work address.
Is that when he says his pull, he's talking about his income, right?
No, I think his pull is his what he can do in the sack.
Oh.
Like pulling, you know, his pulling women, like his ability to satisfy a woman.
Satisfy a woman or to even get a woman.
To get a woman.
Like so his attractiveness.
Yeah.
Is...
So he's got a hot wife. That's established. She's really, really, really hot. But he's wondering, should he look for a younger, hotter wife? That's his question.
Yes. The answer is yes.
Yes.
Go do that.
That's what I say. Leave your wife immediately go find somebody
else.
Just,
you know, get a fair settlement.
Yes. Set your wife free.
Yes.
And walk. But the Gentleman Scholar says, first of all, he berates him for his for
say?
Not being able to use. The Gentleman Scholar would like to thank his Golden State correspondent for writing. But is writing too strong a word? Right. So he goes on. He said, if your letter is purely speculative and you're halfway self-aware, then you see that it combines juvenile grumbles about monogamy with a middle-aged shriek of terror at mortality. Perhaps seeing your id so rudely rendered help you put things into perspective and develop a new appreciation for your wife's many charms, blah, blah, blah. But then he also says, if you're indifferent, as your lack of apostrophe usage reflects, and you are a bore, then you should go to Beverly Hills Rent-A-Car, which is giving you a 20% off, book a convertible, and drive around and whistle at young women in their 20s and see how that works out for you. I'm paraphrasing. But it's not bad advice.
It's not bad advice.
With the exception that he should leave his wife, yes. This is awful.
He should absolutely leave his wife, and he should give her alimony.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any children involved, but is some child support. And then he should also give her a name to some other guys who are actually
who
looking for...
Yeah, appreciate a hot, hot wife.
Yeah.
I mean, when you start off with a woman stunningly gorgeous who will love me forever, I'm done. Either.
What else do you want?
What more do you want? He wants someone who's 25 who's going to love him for a minute. I mean, he said his
forever pull, in a day.
His pull is already lacking, people.
Oh my God.
He's already not the John Hamm, if you will, right? Of the situation. So bizarre. This was the only men's column I could find. Men either are not asking for advice or they're not prepared to give advice. It's kind of bizarre. But then when they do ask, look at this crap.
Well, then they don't even ask for directions.
Yeah.
You know, guys are not one to ask for anything. They figure it all out themselves.
I'm looking for Miss Universe looks. I don't even know what that is. And when I think of Miss Universe, I think of a white woman in the 70s.
Yeah.
With like feathered hair.
Yeah. Feathered,
a little bit of freckles.
Hair, a Halston dress.
Yeah. Like that's what I think of. Is that your wife? I mean, still stay with her if it is. So this is
that's
men's
terrible
advice.
I mean, that's a terrible question.
It is a terrible question. I'm glad that the gentleman scholar, though, did address the guy and be like, look, you're having some kind of midlife crisis. And, you know, he said, if you're one of the world's true jackasses, then you must accept it as your fate and begin a trial phase of sleeping around.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that ain't going to work.
Yeah, but you need to go. No, he has to man up there and do it and sever those ties.
Yeah.
And then go and look for the
and
girls.
And then go and let this woman, I mean, this woman, obviously, she'll have no time finding another person.
Right. And she doesn't need whatever is going to be stuck to your dick when you come back.
Yeah. So I would say go. Yeah. Go. That would be my advice. Leave. Yeah,
absolutely.
And leave a nice little stash behind for her.
Right.
Make sure she's taken care of and then get out of town. So
good luck, heartbreaker.
Yeah. How bizarre is that?
No.
I mean, I think one interesting thing about being a woman is, I don't know, do we have midlife crisis like that?
Not like that. I don't think
I mean,
like
I cut
that.
My hair short. That's all I got. Like, that was not, I dyed it red, cut it short. That was not like, you know, I got antsy one day. That's as far as I'm going to go. Yeah. I don't know.
Go on a trip somewhere? No, it's
maybe.
Like what?
You could try to do like a, what was that movie with James Franco? Woman goes to Tuscany or some madness like that.
Oh, Eat, Pray, Love.
Yeah, you could
take
go
a nice trip.
You could go to a country where the people are poor and brown and find yourself and then come
right.
back. You can get some fabrics. Meet a nice guy.
Eat some pasta. You know.
Come back.
Sleep with a guy, but first go through the, should I or shouldn't I?
Did they really go through all that?
Pretty much, I
Why?
Think.
Why? Of course you should. It's a film.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you have?
I have Tales from the Campfire.
Yay! This is my favorite segment wherein Katie or I take an urban legend or a ghost story and we do a retelling of it. So...
Yeah, this is
wait,
from...
Wait, you've got to say gather.
Oh, yes. This is Tales from the Campfire. Gather round, everyone.
Yes, step right up.
It's Tales from the Campfire.
Cool. So what do we have today?
This is from Filipino folklore.
Okay.
Okay. It's an aswang.
Okay. Is this man beast?
It is a beast.
Okay.
The aswang, it could be a swang.
Or a swang?
A swan.
Okay.
Could be. Appear as normal humans by day, but transform into vampire-like creatures by night.
Okay.
Sucking the blood out of its victims.
So it's like a chupacabra type of situation.
They most frequently target babies, though.
Ooh.
And in utero babies.
How?
Because what they do...
They don't even wait for the baby to get out. That's how strong their thirst is for babies.
Yeah. In order to hunt their prey, the upper half of their body detaches itself from the lower half, which is left standing.
Get out.
And their intestines are used to strangle their victims.
So
that's one version.
They break from the waist.
Kabam.
The top part flies off.
Yeah.
Intestines intact.
Strangle.
And the intestines are kind of like an octopus, tentacles.
Yeah.
And they snatch the baby.
Well, they just as they talk about a victim,
okay.
Even though they like the babies, they do that. But then they talk, now they go about it a different way here where they say, it's usually like the... It's kind of a folklore to explain miscarriages.
Okay.
What they say, and it's also like a fairy tale to keep the kids from going out at night because the aswang is going to get you.
Yeah. I mean, if I heard that, I wouldn't be going outside.
All right. So, it also kind of could be a generic term applied to all kinds of witches and vampires and shapeshifters and werebeasts and things
okay.
like that. So that's another way to... So it's kind of like a catch-all.
It's a catch-all. I like it.
But there's some very specific things about it, too.
Specificity is what makes it real.
Yeah. Usually, when the aswang is a regular townsperson by day, they prefer an occupation related to meat, such as butchery or making sausages.
Okay. That kind of narrows it down.
And they're also quiet, shy, and elusive.
So a quiet, shy butcher. Yeah. With a thirst.
Yes, they can also babies. Yeah, and at night they can transform into a creature such as a cat, pig, bird, or a dog. So okay. No wonder they want to work with meat during the day. So nobody like gets that bird like, "Hey, for my meal the next day." It's okay. Like, let's take it to the butcher. You're already the butcher.
Yeah.
Now you're a bird, so nobody's going to get you.
Is that the logic of it?
That's what I would think.
That's as it else wants.
They enjoy eating unborn fetuses and small children, favoring liver and hearts. Mm-hmm. They have long proboscis that which they can use to suck the children out of their mother's wombs.
Wow.
Or their homes.
Either one. Out of your vajayjay or out of your right. split level razor. Right.
Some are so thin they can hide themselves behind a bamboo post.
Okay.
And they are fast and silent. But then when they eat,
it's like eating spaghetti. I'm guessing.
It's like they make a tick tick sound. So they're also called tick ticks. Like,
that's weird. And that's creepy.
Yeah. Oh, my interpretation of this.
Yes. They got a little X-Files.
They replace their live victims, oh, thank God, with doppelgangers made from tree trunks.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. But the doppelganger is also looks human and would like this thing would come home and then become sick and die. So your doppelganger, which is made out of.
It's not like some
tree
sticks
trunk.
Show up.
But it's.
Some dry. A bundle of sticks shows up. And
everybody.
A week later, it's got a fever. Another week, it's gone.
Yeah. Aswang will also have bloodshot eyes, a result of staying up all night searching for houses.
And then chopping up meat during the day, yeah. Which is exhausting.
Yeah, it's busy. Yeah.
Searching for houses.
And then there's the funny one. The
humorous one. The humorous baby eater.
And they say it's funny because they say it's a handsome gay man that hunts women during the night and eats flesh, eats fresh blood like a vampire.
This is the weirdest homophobic thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It's a good-looking gay guy. That hunts women for some bizarre reason.
Yeah.
And drinks blood.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then... Oh,
does he detach from the waist?
Yeah. He can detach from the waist, too.
Okay.
All right. And if a person looks them in the eye, their reflection would appear inverted. So I guess if I looked you in the eye, my reflection would be upside down if you were an Aswang.
Okay, again, if you look... I'm the Aswang.
I'm like looking at
you. You look at me. What do I see?
You're the ass wang. You just see me.
What reflection?
If I look in your eye.
Oh, if you look into my eyes,
eye,
the reflection.
And then I see my reflection, but it's upside down.
I feel like at this point, you're too close. Back up. Back up. Like, you're going to get eaten. I'm going to detach from the waist.
Right.
Immediately.
And loop
and
you
strangle
with the
you.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're pregnant, I'll take your kid. If not, I'm going to your home, leaving a bundle of sticks behind.
Yeah. And everyone's going to think it's you.
Yeah. I'm a handsome gay man.
During nocturnal activities, they walk with their feet facing backwards and toenails reversed.
Ew.
Yeah, no, it sounds painful.
That doesn't sound right at all.
No wonder they just started in a foul
mood. I feel
like
they just threw that on at the end as a slur.
I think so, too. I think it's...
I like this.
They're
that's
just making up
stuff. Filipino legend, the Aswang.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice indeed. And bizarre.
Strange, right? It was, yeah, I guess to explain miscarriages, they came up with that and watch out for the Aswang because it's going to get you at night.
I like it. I feel like that's the kind of thing that would make a really, really good, would make a really good horror movie. I feel like some of these things that we read, we need to go to those cultures and look at their horror films and see if that's what's represented. Because it's that idea that something would detach from the waist and then it would have tentacles coming out. That's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
We don't have that.
No, we don't.
We're just stuck with a debonair vampire.
Yes.
You know, and now a sexualized witch.
Right.
You know, we don't really, and zombies. And now that Walking Dead is over, I don't even know
the
what
zombies
to say.
Are slow.
Yeah, the zombies are
you know,
slow.
They're not, and they're not even thinking.
Yeah.
So it's like,
it's not that scary.
You just know what they're, you know what they're doing.
I have a Tales for the Campfire for next week that I got from my manicurist that is about Asian zombies. Very
nice.
Interesting. So thanks very much. That's awesome. So I want to talk about, and I sent this to you a couple days ago, the Tanzverbot.
The
Tanzverbot. So apparently in Germany, every year on Good Friday, there's this thing called the Tanzverbot, which means that you are verboten to dance.
Yes.
You cannot dance on this day. And now people are angry about it.
And I texted you back in German.
Yeah, I didn't know you spoke German.
I didn't. I looked up the phrase. Now
what
I got
is
a,
it?
Jaquetta texted me saying this dance in Germany is forbidden on Fridays.
Yeah. On Good Friday.
On Good Friday.
Not every Friday. That would be harsh. On good, can you imagine?
And yeah, and the article was talking about how it's like almost like the movie Footloose, where you can't dance because of religious reasons. So I texted you back in German. Now I got to cut loose Footloose.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
How are you able to find that in German? Is that like something that gets said all the time?
You can translate that. You just translate
now,
it.
Now, I wonder if it's a good translation.
You use a thing called a computer.
I feel like Footloose might not translate well.
I know. It's like,
it's probably like free from the ankles down or something bizarre like that. So the Tanzverbot is basically, it limits the rights of those who are atheists or who believe in other religions, because nobody can dance on this day. So it doesn't matter if you're Christian or non-Christian, cannot dance. It is illegal to dance.
And for everybody. That's rude.
For everybody.
That's rude.
And only 30% of the German public are officially registered as any kind of a Christian. And I don't know if there are more Christians or not, but in Germany, if you're with a church, you got to pay a tax.
Uh-huh.
The only way to get out of it is to you know, drop out of that church, like, officially. So if you're a Catholic, you have to pay Catholic church.
Good.
The government collects it and gives it to the church. If you're a Methodist, the government collects it and gives it to your church.
Now, why did they do that? Do you know?
It's just over the hundreds of years of the development of their systems.
You know,
that's
it's
what's
good
happened.
Because then they could see how much the churches are making.
Well, they can see how much the churches are making, but also...
I like that.
I thought it was, because I was raised as a Christian. I'm not, but you're supposed to tithe, and we were told 10%. I don't know if you guys
were
told
10%
too.
Like in our churches, it was like whatever you can, and then one priest is always like, you know, there's tithing.
Yeah. It should be 10%.
Yeah, tithing people.
So I'm wondering in Germany if it's 10% or less, or what the deal is. Anyway, you got to pay, you know, no matter what it is. But now, so in the past, the Tanzverbot, it was kind of nobody would dance. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm talking about hundreds of years ago. But now, because you have lots of different people with different beliefs, people are starting to dance. They just don't give an F.
Good.
So there have been dance protests. They've cracked down on it. The Pirate Party, which is like some kind of, pirate party, like a political party, I guess, supporting piracy. I have no idea. But they have ordered people to go take to the streets. Christians are upset because they're like, come on, can't you just not dance for one day?
Like, come on, everybody. No, you can't dance for one day.
Yes,
I don't.
That's
I don't,
what I'm saying.
We're not going to the same place
I
in the afterworld.
I have no problem with anyone observing anything, but you can't expect other people to observe your non-dancing day.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, it's not like people were busting up in churches dancing.
Mm-hmm.
These are just like here in the U.S., it's a 4-day weekend. You know what I mean? It starts on Friday. So it like kicks it off. That's like party time.
Yeah.
What do people do here? Easter? It's like a big club weekend.
Absolutely.
All the holidays are. In any case, so I was interested in this Tanzverbot. So I went and looked up what other weird things are illegal in Germany, and I found the list. I'll just read you a couple here. It's illegal to build an office without a view of the sky.
Aww.
So if you're in an office building, no matter where you are, you have to have a view of the sky.
That's nice.
That's interesting. It's an offense punishable with a fine and points on your license if you run out of gas on the Autobahn.
Good for you. I mean, good for them.
I think it's good. Fool. But have you ever run out of gas? Like when you first started driving?
Yeah.
I remember being 16 years old and you're like, oh no, I can make it. And then 2 seconds later, you're just sitting there like
an asshole. Yeah, so 16-year-olds stay off the Autobahn.
Or cheap dads. Quiet time is observed between 12 and 3. It is forbidden during this time in Germany to mow one's lawn,
nice,
to wash a car, to play loud music, or to hammer nails.
Is that every day or just the weekends?
It just says between noon and 3.
Good. That's it. You know what? How many times are you at home on the weekend and you just want to relax in your yard and your neighbor's like, ring?
I'm at home every day and I need to be able to play loud music. Hammering nails, I don't know about. It's forbidden to hand washing out on Sunday. I think they mean hang.
Yeah.
It is illegal to tune a piano at midnight.
Yeah.
It is also illegal to store ashes of a loved one in an urn.
You can't?
You cannot do it. Not in Germany.
What can you put them in?
I don't know. I guess you get to sprinkle them around verboten. A cup?
I like Germany.
I don't know. It's just weird. You can be fined 20 euros for calling someone an ass.
Good.
5,000 for calling them Hitler. That would never work here. People call people Hitler all the time,
I
feel like.
There's an actual thing. It is, it's a theory that every email string or conversation, if it goes on long enough,
Hitler
will eventually mention Hitler. Like, it'll digress into that somehow.
5,000 euros. How are you going to prove that? And the last one that I thought was interesting, a pillow is classified as a passive weapon. If you hit somebody with it, you will be charged with assault.
Nice. See, I'm into all this. I should live in Germany.
Yes, I guess so.
I'm like
you
all of
them. Keep in mind, you can't dance.
On Fridays.
Are you willing to give it up? You'll be the good German. You're like, these things seemed okay. Yeah. It seemed all right at first. At first, it was just not dancing.
Then it was...
How bizarre is that?
Then it evolved.
Yeah, then it evolved to other things. I just wanted to let people know that I am having a show in the Hollywood Fringe Festival. Oh. The Hollywood Fringe is June 13th through 30th. My show is called That's Funny, You Didn't Sound Black on the Phone. I have 5 shows during the festival. If you go to hollywoodfringe.org/projects/1127, you can find my show. And if you type in a code HYKI, Hikey, you get half off on the tickets.
Wow.
So if you guys want to come see my show in LA, half off tickets. And please check it out.
Yeah, and you should.
Yeah, I encourage it.
I do too.
I would say my show's all right. I mean, I haven't seen it.
I endorse your show too.
Yeah, but audiences enjoyed it. So, cool.
Thanks for listening to Hey You Know It. You can contact us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at Hey You Know It. Follow us on Tumblr, heyyouknowit.tumblr.com. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, and we'll read it on the air regardless of content. And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass. We'd love to hear from you. How much vomit I saw after this Easter weekend.
Are you serious?
I was like, what is going on?
Was it pink and green and
right,
yellow?
Right, and fuzzy.
What happened?
Everyone was part. I was like.
On Good Friday?
Good Friday. No, even Holy. It's Holy Thursday, Good Friday.
You're looking at the wrong person.
Sweet Saturday. I don't know.
Wheat Saturday?
I said Sweet Saturday. Oh. No, so I think it's like. Good Friday, it's Good Saturday again. I'm not sure. And then
and
Easter
Sunday. But there's also something that happens on Monday. Greg and I were trying to figure this out. We had a whole week of things. I thought it started on Wednesday.
No, it starts on Thursday.
Isn't it like Maundy Thursday or some weird kind of name like
no,
that?
No, that's from The Godfather.
But there's no Maundy.
She was like Monday, Tuesday.
No, not Monday. Maundy is like a... It's like a word that means it has something to do with religious, like Good Friday, you know, Shrove Tuesday, like all of these kind of things.
No.
You guys didn't celebrate that?
No.
Maybe it was like a Methodist thing.
Probably.